Hello, I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to my podcast, and we have a lot to talk about today. First, though, I want to bring your attention to something that is on my heart and something that has been of great concern for me. I've mentioned this in my radio podcast a few days ago about the flooding in Louisiana and in Mississippi. It's pretty bad, folks. It's pretty bad, and there are lots and lots and lots of people that are hurting that have lost everything, absolutely everything. And many of these people have no flood insurance because they didn't need it. Those parts of the state up until this point have never flooded, so they were caught off guard. But the flooding in Louisiana, and the reason why it's been on my my mind is because of the mainstream media coverage, the lack of coverage. You know, if it sprinkles in New York City, the networks go wall to wall with breaking news alerts. But we certainly haven't seen that in Louisiana or when there are major tornado outbreaks in the Midwest. It seems as though, you know, if bad things happen in the big cities like Los Angeles or Chicago or New York City, then it matters to the media. But if good, hardworking people down in the Bayou State lose everything, well, it amounts to a mention in the national newscast. And I think that's troubling. The mainstream media, they seem to think that the country stops to exist west of the Hudson River. They seem to think that area west of the Hudson River is some sort of vast wilderness. But there are some good people out there that need our help. One of those people, Tony Perkins. You know his name. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Many of you may not know this, but Tony actually commutes to Washington, D.C. from his home in southeast Louisiana. And he and his family own a very large farm down there. He and his lovely wife have five kids and just a wonderful group of people. They lost everything. Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, had to be rescued from his home by canoe because of the fast rising waters. Tony tells me, I spoke to him last evening by telephone. He told me that they lost everything. The house, their cars. And at this very moment, Tony and his wife and their five kids are living in a motor home until they can rebuild, until the waters recede. And even though he is facing great personal loss, he is also filling in as the pastor of one of the churches there in the area, and he's heading up their disaster relief efforts, trying to make sure that other people are taken care of. Now, look, I've heard from a lot of folks in Louisiana, many of you folks down in Bayou Country, Cajun Country, and in the Acadiana, you listen to this podcast, and you've been quick to tell me that you guys, y'all don't need the government's help, and I understand that. The folks in Louisiana are good, hardworking people, and they take pride in doing an honest day's work. They take pride in not having to rely on the charity of others. But sometimes you have to lean on other people, and we need to be there for the people of Louisiana. And so, aside from the mainstream media coverage, I've been wondering where President Obama's been in all of this. Why hasn't President Obama been down to Louisiana? Again, to bring attention to a region of the country that is in grave, grave danger. You probably didn't know this, but the National Guard and first responders rescued as many as 30,000 people from rooftops and cars that were underwater. 30,000 people. As many as 40,000 homes have been damaged or destroyed. We're talking damage that's right up there with Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Sandy. We're talking about we're talking about a very, very bad situation, folks. Now, already we know that Samaritan's Purse, from the Billy, Franklin Graham's ministry, Samaritan's Purse is sending disaster relief teams down to help. And by the way, if you want to help, I would encourage you to go to samaritanspurse.org, and they will make sure that your dollars go to the good people of Louisiana. But where's President Obama in all of this? Where is he? He's playing golf. He's on vacation. Hanging out in his multi-million-dollar beachside resort. Getting in a round of golf. It's become an issue. And here's the reason why. I just want you to, let's go back in time to the last presidential election, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And they were going at it. And President Obama actually brought back up the how President Bush, George W. Bush, handled the hurricane, the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Listen to what the president said.
Because when the people of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast extended their hand for help, help was not there. When people looked up from the rooftops, for too long they saw an empty sky. When the winds blew and the floodwaters came, we learned that for all of our wealth and our power, something wasn't right with America. We can talk about what happened for a few days in 2005, and we should. We can talk about levees that couldn't hold, about a FEMA that seemed not just incompetent, but paralyzed and powerless, about a president who only saw the people from the window of an airplane instead of down here on the ground trying to provide comfort and aid.
So there you have it, folks. That's what President Obama was saying about President Bush's response to Hurricane Katrina. So what about President Obama's response to what's happening in Louisiana? Now, the folks at the Baton Rouge Advocate, the Morning Advocate, the local newspaper there, they published a staff editorial. It's a big deal. And here's the headline, "Vacation or not, a hurting Louisiana needs you now, President Obama." This is a pretty powerful editorial. "Sometimes presidential visits can get in the way of emergency response, doing more harm than good, but we don't see that as a factor now that floodwaters are subsiding, even if at an agonizing pace. It's past time for the president to pay a personal visit, showing his solidarity with suffering Americans." But I don't think President Obama gives a damn, folks, or else he'd already be down there. Why should he care? It's all about his golf game. The editorial, and I encourage you to read it at theadvocate.com. The editorial goes on to say, "The president's vacation is scheduled to wrap up on Sunday, but he should pack his bags now and pay a call on communities who need to know that in a national catastrophe, they are not alone. The president's presence is already late to the crisis, but it's better late than never." It's pretty sad, isn't it? Suffering Americans, and the president is yucking it up on the golf course and eating high-dollar meals at his million-dollar, multi-million-dollar beachside resort. That really says a lot about our president, doesn't it? So anyway, folks, I hope that you will continue to pray for the good people of Louisiana. If you can, give a few dollars to the relief cause. A lot of people could use your help. SamaritansPurse.org is the website. Another couple of stories that we've been talking about this week, one involving the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Oh, yes. Good old Mikey Weinstein. Mikey Weinstein. Anyway, he's sort of an anti-Christian gadfly, this guy. Real fussy type, if you know what I mean. Anyway, he's all upset because there was a major at the Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, Peterson Air Force Base, and this Air Force officer had a Bible on his desk, and the Bible was opened. And now the Air Force has launched a probe into why the officer had an open Bible, open to the book of Philippians, by the way, wanted to know why this major had an open Bible on his desk. Well, I'm not quite sure why they needed to do a probe to find that out. Here at my desk at the Fox News corner of the world, I have a Bible right here on my desk. It's a John MacArthur study Bible. Very nice Bible, by the way. And I have a devotion book. And every morning when I get to the Fox News corner of the world, I brew myself a cup of community coffee and sit down and read a few passages of Scripture and read a devotion for the day and then begin my work here at Fox News. And I suspect that's exactly what the Air Force officer there in Colorado Springs was doing. So anyway, Mr. Weinstein says that fellow military personnel, Air Force personnel, got upset and they complained. They saw this Bible and they became terrified. His words, terrified. 33. That's right, friends. 33 Air Force personnel apparently walked by this officer's desk, saw the open Bible, and immediately broke out in hives or something. So we reached out to the military, and the commander of the 310th Space Wing, a very nice gentleman, Colonel Damon Feltman, a very nice man, and he said that the major had removed the Bible voluntarily as they are reviewing this because he didn't want to cause attention or disruption to the unit. But this Weinstein character, he actually wants the major punished. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, seriously punished, like latch him to a post and flog him. This Weinstein guy's, he's a character. I doubt that it's going to come to that, but you never know these days. Mr. Weinstein told me that we have 33 very scared Air Force families. So can I just ask this question? If those Air Force personnel break out in hives and start to weep at the sight of a Bible in fear, how in the world are they going to muster the courage to fight the enemy, the Islamic radicals? What do they have over there, a bunch of little gentle snowflakes? So we don't know when the investigation is going to be over. But the major won't be able to put his Bible back out on his desk until that investigation is complete. Now, so far, the military said that they don't believe that there's anything inappropriate with having the Bible on his desk. But, and there's a caveat, but they said it really depends on what the point of the Bible on the desk was for. Because they said if the major was trying to proselytize, well, that could be a problem. We're going to stay on top of this story, and if need be, we're going to stand with the major there at the Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. By the way, so far, you know, the accusation has been proselytizing. For the record, there's no evidence that any of Mr. Weinstein's sensitive clients have spontaneously combusted or converted after looking at the good book. Just throw that out there. And then we've got the story out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Folks, jeez, Alou. So teachers in Charlotte, North Carolina have been advised, not ordered to, just advised, to stop calling children names. Now, you might be wondering, what sort of names were they calling the children there in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, North Carolina? I remember when I was a child, I was not a very well-behaved student, and I'm fairly certain my teacher called me a few names back in the day. So I can understand if the teachers were calling the kids names. Oh, but no, they weren't calling the kids morons or stupid. No, they were calling the children boys and girls. That's right. Teachers were told to stop calling the children boys and girls. Instead, the progressives who control the school system there want the teachers to identify youngsters as either students or scholars, even apparently if the kid's dumb as a rock. It's okay, Billy. 2 plus 2 is not 48, but you're still a scholar. So this is all part of an anti-bullying campaign surrounding transgender issues. And all of these regulations are going to go into effect later on this month. And there's some pretty outrageous things. The most outrageous won't even be implemented. That's been put on hold. They wanted to let the kids, boys who identify as girls, use the bathrooms and the locker rooms and the showers of their choice. But they can't do that because the Supreme Court has weighed in and there's some federal court issues that still have to be worked out. So that part of it's on hold. Doesn't mean it's been canceled. It's just on hold. Meanwhile, they're still going to let boys who identify as girls hang out with girls on an overnight field trip, which I'm sure that's going to be a hit among the 13-year-olds. And so get this, and moms and dads, you might want to pull the car over to the side of the road if you're driving and listening to this. Let's say that you have a son named Jack, but at school, Jack becomes known as Jill. Under the transgender guidelines in Charlotte, North Carolina, teachers are not required to notify you if your child decides to change genders. It's all there in the regulation JICK-R Privacy Concerns. Staff must not take care. Folks, I'm sorry. I can't read today. I need some more coffee. Let's try this again. Staff must take care not to out a student to others, including the parents of an older student. Involvement of parents in the plan is determined in working with the student, considering the student's age and health, well-being, and safety concerns. In other words, mom and dad, you just go about your business. The government's going to take care of your child. We know best. The government knows best. 57 pages of training material there that the teachers had to go through, sort of a transgender 101 workshop. I don't know how in the world they're going to have time to teach the kids driver's ed and English 101. They got to teach them about all this transgender stuff. And they're using a purple unicorn to teach and educate people about transgender issues. They actually call it the gender unicorn, a make-believe creature. Now, here's the kick in the pants. Most of these guidelines and regulations were not even run by moms and dads. It caught a lot of parents off guard. And so now they're raising Cain, but to be honest with you, I don't think the school district's going to back down here. Not at all. I'd say there's a better chance of that purple unicorn blowing pixie dust out its hindquarters. But that's just me. All right, on to another interesting story. We've got a quick hit here before we wrap up our podcast. Have you guys noticed that it seems like the nation's lost its sense of humor? Have you noticed that? I mean, folks are just way too sensitive these days, and I think it's a side effect of this perpetually offended millennial generation. So there's a guy who owns an Italian restaurant over in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Paisano's. And they were advertising a new dish, and they put a sign up on the right outside of the restaurant. And they wanted it to be clever so people would pay attention and pay him a visit. So anyway, the new dish is tuna with black olive tapenade. And so the guy posts the sign, and it says, "Black olives matter." Clever. Well, you can kind of figure out what happened next. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the poor restaurant, they're under fire from the Black Lives Matter crowd. They've been called insensitive, accused of fomenting racial tension. And the owner says, I'm just trying to sell tuna fish with black olive tapenade. But I like this guy, the owner of Paisanos, because they're not backing down. Instead of taking the sign down, they started selling T-shirts and ball caps, and every single piece of merchandise has the phrase, Black Olives Matter. Although, I can see how some folks might be offended, because it really doesn't go far enough. I mean, what about green olives? Don't they matter? Or what about the Kalamata olives? I love the Greek olives. Don't Greek olives matter too? Just something to think about, folks. Just something to think about. All right. We've got some stuff to give away. And here's how we're going to do this. I am going to I'm going to give away a copy of my book, God Bless America. And I'm also going to give away a T-shirt. And the T-shirts are pretty spectacular. The T-shirts have ToddStearns.com on one side. On the other side, I'm a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, patriotic American. This shirt, ladies and gentlemen, is scientifically proven, well, not really, but scientifically proven almost to repel liberals. A liberal sees you coming down the street wearing this T-shirt, they will cross to the other side. At least in theory, that's what we were told. But we're going to give you a T-shirt and a book. All you have to do is send us a review, post a review on iTunes, and we will select two or three individuals at random to win the book or the T-shirt. And so you have to make sure these reviews are pithy, so they'll catch my attention. So go ahead and do that, and we're going to be picking out a winner very, very soon. One final note before we say goodbye. Probably my favorite story of the week comes from Little Rock, Arkansas, and it involves a Catholic high school, and it is simply brilliant. I got to tell you something. I'm a Southern Baptist, but my hat is off to the Catholics and their education system. They don't mess around when it comes to educating kids in the Catholic schools. Not one bit. So anyway, here's the story. A Catholic high school for boys in Little Rock, Arkansas. They have a sign on the front door, and it's a message for moms and dads. One of the things that this school does, they take great pride in teaching boys how to read, how to write, how to multiply and divide, and also how to solve problems. Come boys so that you can become men. That's the slogan. That's their mantra. So anyway, they have this big sign on the front door of the school, and it's great. It's causing a lot of controversy online. And here's what the sign says. If you are dropping off your son's forgotten lunch, books, homework, equipment, turn around and exit the building. Your son will learn to problem solve in your absence. Imagine this, folks. In this day and age, a school that's teaching boys how to be self-reliant, how not to be mama's boys. I told you these Catholic school educators don't mess around. I wonder if they use the rulers too. Well, anyway, it's this sign has gone viral. I did a radio commentary on it, and I wrote a column about it at foxnews.com. And it seems like just about everybody's giving the Catholics a thumbs up here. What do you guys think about that? I mean, what would you do if your son called you up, your 10th grader called you up and said, "Hey, Mom, left the bologna sandwich on the kitchen counter. Can you pick it up and bring it to me?" Would you do that? Would you do it twice? What about three times? So a lot of people, though, not too happy with the Catholics. They say they're being too harsh and that children need to eat. Well, they also need to remember to bring their lunch to school. So anyway, hats off to the Catholic high school for boys there in Little Rock, Arkansas, teaching the kids personal responsibility and self-reliance. Boy, they're not teaching that in the public school system, are they? Yeah, they're teaching kids how to be coddled. instead of how to be men. All right. That's it for today, folks. Hey, look, don't forget, send us a review on iTunes. And those of you who do will be eligible for our random selection of a book and T-shirt giveaway. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us. Be sure to check us out at foxnews.com, toddstarns.com, and on the radio from coast to coast, border to border. Have a great one, everybody.